The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 26 countries in the world and every state in the U.S. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, with partnerships throughout the music industry, including iHeartRadio and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is J.C. Hopkins. J.C. is a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter, and he's been a producer and leader in the legendary J.C. Hopkins Biggish Band with the new album, New York Moment, and it's getting rave reviews. He's also a writer whose screenplay for the feature film Poets Are the Destroyers is slated to see release in the spring of 2021. He has a new jazz noir novel called The Perfect Fourth and a recent collection of poetry entitled 2020 is Hindsight.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, JC. How are you doing tonight?
Great, friends. Thanks for having me. Doing good.
You're very welcome, my friend. So, well, you have a very interesting story. You're kind of dabbling in a few different things, which I totally respect because I try to do the same thing, although you're doing it at a much higher level. So tell me a little bit about how you got into all this stuff.
Oh, gee. Hubris, I guess, primarily. I don't know. I just, at an early age, 17, I just felt that art and music and writing was my calling. And basically, my father said, well, if you want to go to college, I'll help support you. But if you want to, you know, head out on your own, pursuing the arts, you're on your own. And I was like, all right, well, fine, I'll take that road. And so I just always, you know, felt like I had a story to tell and a song to sing to or to write. And I just guess I always had the confidence to pursue that and always felt that pretty much didn't have any other choice. That was what I needed to do.
Yeah, you feel like it was burning a hole in your soul, right? Like you just had to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think Carl Jung, some of his writings, he talks about this predicament in a way, how it's so it's not so much a, you know, it's a can be a burden in a way, because you really don't, I don't know, have a choice if that's what you've, if that's what's branded in you. And especially if you stay true to your vision and your guts, you're just bound to displease people and hit some hard times. But, you know, if you make something of quality, it will get noticed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Do you think, you know, one of the things that I kind of sense growing up too is there was this almost inherent bias, which you touched on a little bit, in that if you tell someone you're going to go be an engineer or something, people are cool with it. But all of a sudden, if you say, I want to be a musician or not, you know, it's almost like, well, wait, that's not a real career kind of thing. Have you fought against that a little bit?
Yeah. I've been in that, had that predicament in leaner times, you know. Usually, you know, in a relationship or living with somebody, it's stressful. I mean, it can be very stressful, you know. And for me, it's definitely, I've had peaks and valleys, and I'm used to the valleys. I'm used to, like, matter of fact, it's been quite a while since I've had to really deal with a valley.
Sure.
But still, it feels odd, not, you know, sometimes it's, you wake up and you're like, all right, you know, kind of scrape it together, you know, put something together to, you know, keep going. But, you know, these days I'm all right, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like a sense. It's like another sense you have, you know, I think.
Sure. What do you say to someone who has some confrontation with their parents or just with different people that kind of get told, you know, basically that you need to pick something different to do? What advice would you give them?
Well, that's a good question. And I think there's probably two answers come to mind. One is just, you know, saying, just letting them know that there's no choice, you know, there isn't a choice. And, you know, you really do have to be willing to, I think, go hungry and skip a meal or two, or just have faith, you know. So how many times was it just like, well, how am I going to get the rent paid? I don't know. It's,
yeah.
You know, and it always got paid, usually, sometimes late. But, you know, people want to give the artist the benefit of the doubt, even maybe the people who are criticizing you, or who love you and are concerned for you in their heart. That's the thing that they relate to. And that's what gives their life meaning in a way and enhances their life, which is art. So, you know, but they know that way goes. There's no safety net. And but there's not really a safety net for anybody anyway, so these days. So
that's true. How has COVID affected you, good or bad?
Well, it's I've been productive. I've been very productive with writing and some songwriting, but mostly writing. I'm working on some screenplays and a couple of novel manuscripts, and then writing poetry every day. But prior, you know, in the lead up to it happening, you know, I was playing with my band up at Minton's every weekend, Minton's Harlem, which is a historical landmark. It's a legendary nightclub where Thelonious Monk and Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker all pretty much invented bebop. And so it was really a dream come true. I mean, and then performing with these incredible musicians and wonderful singers, Nico Sarbanes. This young man plays trumpet like Miles and sings like Frank Sinatra, and Joy Hansen, you know, just a great musician and sings, you know, can come Ella or Sarah Vaughan comes to mind, but she has her own sound. And Venetia Gould, just so soulful. I think the track you're going to play later on is her singing. And Sean Whitehorn, another vocalist who kind of took Nico's spot when Nico moved back down to Baltimore. So every night, so he had two or three singers and 10-piece band crammed on the stage, and this audience made up of people from Harlem or from New York or around the country or around the world. It was just this mix, and it was such a exchange of between the band and the audience and the singers and the band and the, you know, the whole thing. And and then for that to come to like a crashing close, you know, just overnight, and then here we are, you know, it'll be a year later come March, and I don't know when we'll be back in the club. It was quite a shock, you know. And Yeah. So, you know, it took me like a month or two to reorient myself and dig into some work that I needed to do. And I have three kids, one's my daughter's 17 and my middle son is 14 and he's a freshman in high school. My daughter's a senior in high school and a 6-year-old son who started first grade. So, you know, you put aside whatever anxieties you might have. And then, of course, the whole year you had the anxiety of Donald Trump as president, the insanity of that on top of COVID, what made it very scary. And especially yeah. for the children, you worry about them. And you worry for them. And so we did our work phone banking. My daughter phone bank Arizona, I phone bank Pennsylvania. And, you know, that's what we did in our spare time at a certain point. And, you know, then the question came, well, what are you going to do if he steals the election? Because that's the only way we figured he could possibly win, Trump, that is. And I said, well, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to move to Canada or England or something. But I was like, I don't know. New York is still going to be the best place for us. Brooklyn, where we live, it's still going to be the best place. So let's just hope that doesn't happen. But this is our home, and it's the greatest place in the world. So in my opinion, you know, so yeah. And during the pandemic in Brooklyn and New York, people, you know, you look at the rates, it went down and stayed down. And because people wore masks and people took care. And, you know, it's not easy. And it's such a social city. I mean, people are used to riding the subways and rubbing into each other and smelling their bad breath of pizza they just say.
Yeah.
But
tell us a little bit about what you got coming this year. You got some new music, new book coming out. What can the fans expect from you?
Well, the movie's coming out. Poets Are the Destroyers, I think, due to hit the streaming services, you know, late spring. And this is a screenplay that I wrote, and it was directed by a great young director, Nancy Pop, and this wonderful group of actors. And it tells the story of a young, millennial in her late mid-20s, mid-ish. And it's about this community of poets. And she, Zuzu is the protagonist, and she had been raised by a single mom who was an artist who had passed away like the year earlier. So she finally is coming out of her mourning period, and she goes to a poetry reading, and she reads some poems that she had written and people were very moved by it. And then she goes home that night with another poet and gets pregnant. And so the movie is the week where she decides what to do about this situation. And she tries to get support from her friends and her community, but ultimately it's something she really needs to, and from her lover, but ultimately it's just something she needs to figure out and go through all of her experience. And
wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the new music you got coming out. Is that part of a soundtrack for this, or is that a separate project?
Some of the soundtrack from, the album from the Biggish Band, New York Moment, it actually dropped about a week after the pandemic decided to drop. So, you know, all the record release party and all the touring to support it and all that was just obviously just shelved. And
yeah.
So, we kind of feel like that never really happened. But of course, with the movie, a lot of the music is featured in the movie itself. And I also wrote a screenplay called New York Moment that incorporates the songs and the music from that record, and also kind of the experience I had from working at Minton's and being a single dad with kids and, you know, trying to stay true to your art, but it's not always easy. And also the experience of the musicians, the young musicians who are, you know, it's just the story of a jazz musician in New York that is kind of consistent in that you practice your instrument and you play your gigs, and then after the gigs are over at nighttime, you go to the jam session till like 4 o'clock in the morning. Just the music,
sure,
camaraderie just never stops, and that's another aspect of the screenplay. So, looking to get that made as well.
Wonderful. All right, tell us a little bit before we hear your song here. What instruments do you play, or what's your main instrument?
Primarily, it's piano. Piano and okay. Composing, and I kind of feel like the band is my instrument, you know, just curating the musicians and the arrangers and the vocalists and calling the soloists, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. When you perform in public, do you do it solo? Do you always do it with your band?
Well, I've had plenty of times where I was playing solo, which is my book, The Perfect Fourth, which also came out this last year. You know, its protagonist is Preston Gomez, and he's a piano player. And there's a whole sort of insular frame of mind that a solo pianist and a piano player can have. And then I've played combos and all that with a combo, small groups. But for, you know, mostly for the last few years, I've been concentrating on the big band, on the biggish band. So I think I'll continue. That will be my emphasis in terms of music.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about this song we're going to hear in a couple of minutes here. What inspired it? What do you want us to take from it when we listen to it?
Well, as I was like calling through my songs and looking for material to round out the record, which we have been performing a bunch of songs, and you know how your iPhone shuffle, whatever, will bring something up, and it brought up this demo of this song that I had written with a person I'd known for a short while, Melody Federer. She had come into town, you know, this was 10 years ago, maybe more than 10 years ago. And she's super young, and she came to town, and she kind of sought me out. And we palled around for like a week or two, and we would go. I had keys to this recording studio, and I had this Steinway upright. And she was just really into writing songs. And so we wrote songs, and I came up with this, like, sort of just like a 2-chord vamp stride with a little stride thrown in there, and she did some whistling, and then we started writing this lyric, mostly coming from, you know, she was having a hard time being kind of a California girl, being in New York, and it was culture shock of that, and just the shock of just getting kicked around a little bit. And so she wrote this song, you know, one of those days, you know, with this kind of a list of all the things that can go wrong and do go wrong, but you know, you just have to keep, you know, keep on keeping on. And so obviously that song really made a lot of sense, especially after COVID, and also it fits in nicely with the movie Poets Are Destroyers, which used the song in the soundtrack, and the video of the song incorporates scenes from the movie. So I also had the arranger transcribe Melody's whistling and made it into a nice little hooky horn arrangement, and you know, then I got the pleasure of calling Melody, which I still had her phone number in my phone, and I said, you know, hey, you know, it's me, and do you remember that song we wrote, the songs we wrote? And the other one was The Wonderful Things to Come, which is also on the record. And anyway, she was very pleased, and I think it came out really great, both of the songs.
Awesome. All right, JC, I'll tell you what, let's take a listen to it, then we'll come back and chat a few more minutes, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, everybody, check this out. All right, JC, that's a really cool song, man. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Tell you what, why don't you give us your contact info? Where can people buy your music, stream it? Where can they get a hold of your stuff?
Well, they can get everything at the website, which is www.jchopkins.com. You could listen to the music there, see the videos, purchase vinyl. We got vinyl of the new record, which is very beautiful. It's great photography on the cover as well. I really recommend people support the artists And also, you know, it's a way to have something really beautiful in your home. Also the books are available, the new collection of poetry, which is 2020 is hindsight, is kind of a daily poetic log of basically my story of existing in Brooklyn during this tumultuous year and having kids and trying to find a little romance. So yeah, I would say the website is the place to go.
Awesome. And tell us a little bit before we get going here, what's your favorite jam of all time? If you could pick one song, what comes to mind?
Oh, gee. I mean, for some reason, the thing that just came to my mind is Volunteered Slavery by Rossann Roland Kirk. And there's just something so heavy and deep about it. And there's actually a video somewhere of him playing a live version in like Sweden or something. And he's, you know, of course he's got this stretch and the manzolo and he's playing three horns at the same time. And he's blind, you know, but he goes down into the crowd. Like it's just this crazy jam. It's so ferocious. And he's in the crowd and they're just, and he's walking around, you know, and they're leading him and all this love. And then at the end of the tune, he goes into Hey Jude, like the na 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 part of Hey Jude. And it's just, you know, for a song about how we volunteer to be slaves to the system, it's a real just joyous exchange and eruption of musical epiphanies. So, yeah, I guess that's what leapt to mind.
Awesome. All right, man. Any shout outs tonight? You want to shout out to anybody?
Just to all those people on the front lines, you know, it's maybe going to get worse before it gets better, but it's going to get better. And to the teachers, you know, there's just having kids. It's just, I can't, you know, say how deeply grateful I am.
Yeah.
Service.
For sure, for sure. All right, before we let you go, what's the strangest compliment you've ever gotten for your writing or your music or your screenplays, for anything?
That's a good one. Let's see. I don't know. It's hard to say. Somebody told me the other day I look like a young Paul Simon, but that's more surface.
It's all right. We'll take that. That's kind of a cool compliment.
All right. You know, just stay true to yourself. And that's what I try to do, you know.
All right. Awesome, JC. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight with us, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Stra.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you to everyone out there for tuning in tonight. I know you guys have only so much time and it's precious. And thank you for sharing it with us tonight. I want to thank JC for being on the show, and please join us every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called The Silence Doesn't Bother Me. It's a pop song about a nervous singer who's ready to walk out onto the stage at the biggest show of his life. I hope you enjoy it. I love you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
The crowd howling outside, my doubts spinning my mind. I tried to keep them all inside, but now they know. They know my deepest fears, my thoughts, my pain, my tears. And if they scream or if they cheer, they'll never get to me. Now I'm free, I'm standing here. Doesn't matter what you want, let the thunder rage on. And now I'm free, doesn't matter what you say, my music's gonna play. The silence doesn't bother me, the silence doesn't bother me today. The silence didn't bother me yesterday.
Won't let them change my ways. Won't take it even one more day. You'll never get to me. Now I'm free. I'm standing here. Doesn't matter what you want. Let the thunder rage on and on. And now I'm free. I'm standing here. Doesn't matter what you say. My music's gonna play. The silence doesn't bother me. The silence doesn't bother me. Today. The silence didn't bother me yesterday. The silence never bothered me anyway. Stronger than ever, I will never stand down. No, never, no, never. I will rise up much stronger than ever. I will never stand down. No, never, no, never. I will rise up much stronger than ever. I will never stand down. No, never, no, never. I will rise up much stronger than ever. I will never stand down. No, never, never. The silence doesn't bother me. The silence doesn't bother me. The silence didn't bother me. Never bother me anyway. The silence doesn't bother me. The silence doesn't bother me today. The silence didn't bother me yesterday. The silence never bothered me anyway.
To the Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.